Next case is 95-1664 Ann B. Scheidel v. Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
I would agree, Your Honor, that it is somewhat of a reach, but I would also emphasize it was not the plaintiff's reach.
I know.
It was the reach of Liberty, and it was the reach of the trial and appellate courts, who very clearly characterized that as a counterclaim and said not only is it a counterclaim by third parties, not parties to the insurance contract, but it is the equivalent of a claim by the estate against the surviving spouse, which I found to be preposterous. Because first of all, under Dairyland, the estate didn't have the right. How in the world could the trucker and the trucking company do something that the estate didn't have the right to do under Dairyland?
At this point, we should have the facts down as well or better than you, because we had the benefit of all the other cases. But I think it would be helpful if we just took maybe 2 minutes and have you go through the facts of this case, and then subsequent to that, say, and we claim this because. Would that be fair?
Anything else? Initially, the accident occurs in 1987. I have a truck with 16,000 tons of steel. Goes through an intersection. Crushes half of my client's vehicle, in which is riding Joseph Scheidel, his passenger, his wife operating the vehicle.
So it's a husband and wife,
driving. Husband operating the passenger vehicle. He's the named insured. Porter Fields had that one. He's the named insured.
Well, she would be too.
She's a name, she's insured as a spouse.
As a family member.
Family.
Okay, so they're both covered under a liability policy and an uninsured motorist, and underinsured coverage.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Now, we filed a wrongful death action. The trucker and trucking company filed a counterclaim, rate of contribution, whatever.
Okay, stop. Who did you file the wrongful death action against?
The trucker.
The trucker and your own company?
No, Your honor. At this point, this factual pattern, Liberty Mutual, my client's insurance company, is not in fiction. We filed a wrongful death action, right? The counterclaim occurs on behalf of the trucker company to their insurance company, alleging contributory negligence on behalf of Anschider operating vehicle. We turned that counterclaim over to the Scheidel's insurer, Liberty Mutual, and said, you have an obligation to defend. They've accused the named insurer, Anschider, of negligence. Liberty's response is, there is no obligation to defend. The obligation to defend is eliminated because that claim of the trucker and the trucker company is a claim that could have been made by the estate against Ann Scheidel. And since the spousal exclusion under liability policies under Deerland is valid, there's an exclusion. We don't have to defend.
So at that moment, why didn't you amend your underlying suit to include your own company who invited you to do it?
I guess I would say because I was very mindful of the fact that the spousal immunity statute did in fact exclude that obligation to defend, but I couldn't convince the court at that point that that was a preposterous proposition.
And of course, there was also a provision in the policy that would exclude the spouse, liability
yes, sir.
To the spouse.
Yes, sir. Now, and then the second part of it seemed logical to me at that point, which was that, all right, you have just made Ann Scheidel an uninsured motorist. She has no coverage. Therefore, my estate would have the right to claim against the spouse under the uninsured motorist provision, but for Deerland, all right, which says
spousal exclusion. Who just made her an uninsured motorist? Liberty?
Liberty Mutual and or the defendant's trucker and trucker company. In essence, the
but their pleading, their original pleading, that's where I got off the track, their original pleading in the counterclaim claimed that they could have claimed that she was responsible under the liability section of her own policy. So how then do we come and say they named her as an uninsured motorist? Or made her that?
No, they did not. But what I am saying is, to me, at the moment they make that claim and say we have no obligation to defend because she's a spouse, she is obviously without insurance.
You're saying, in effect, the result of their conduct, their action, is she...
That's right. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you apply that fiction, as the court did and Liberty did, that the claim of the counterclaim of the trucker company are the same as if the estate had sued her, a fiction I don't agree with, but if you apply that fiction under the EYM coverage provision, that's the result you get. She's an uninsured motorist, and the estate has a claim against her.
But uninsured motorist doesn't work that way, does it, counsel? When I take advantage of my uninsured coverage, it is because I have been damaged by another who has less than enough insurance coverage.
Yes, I totally agree with you. So what happens here is, because they say there's no insurance liability provision covering Ann Scheidel, all right? She's uninsured. Now the estate is the named insured. They've been damaged by an uninsured owner.
Yeah. She's uninsured in your analysis. She's uninsured to pay claims that her husband might have against her.
That's correct.
See, because it's not the trucker, right? So you're saying she can't pay her husband. But you're saying that's some sort of fiction, but indeed that's really what we're talking about here, is that her husband had, if he were alive, could have sued her. And he's the only guy who has a claim against her. The truckers are saying that only in terms of contribution, because the estate is suing the truckers, her husband essentially is suing the truckers. Right.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm following.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing.
Okay. And there she is.
But what I'm saying is, once you allow that fiction to exist and determine coverage, as Liberty in the trial court and the Court of Appeals did, how can they have it both ways? And now say, now when we get to EYM, we drop the fiction.
But the coverage you're talking about for her to be uninsured is really to indemnify her. That's liability coverage.
I don't
indemnify her for whatever claims she owes her husband, Faye.
had her husband's estate filed a claim against her.
Yes.
But the estate did not claim against Ann Shidell. Only Liberty Mutual and the courts below considered the truckers' counterclaims as being the equivalent, I'm using their language, as if the estate had filed a claim against Ann Shidell. It didn't happen. You are correct. It didn't happen.
She's uninsured, that's the weird one. Where you say she now becomes uninsured. Uninsured to pay claims her husband might have against her for her negligence that contributed to his injury, his death.
Yes, Your Honor. I agree with that synopsis of the bizarre fact pattern. Although that is also the fact pattern that is, of course, aware in Alexander later on, where we had uninsured members too. But
you don't dispute the validity of the inter-family exclusion.
Not at all. Not at all. What I dispute in terms of the initial, of the first assignment of error, that is liability coverage, duty to defend, what I dispute is that the duty to defend arises, what I assert is the duty to defend arises the moment the trucker and trucker company said Ann Shidell was negligent in operating her vehicle, then Liberty had a duty to defend her, to go in and then analyze what the merit or theory of that duty to defend is. Violate this court's very clear dictate in Willoughby, you don't do that. The duty to defend arises.
Now let's take it step by step. So they refuse coverage. They say we're not going to defend. Then you go out and settle the case.
We go out and settle the wrongful death action.
We settle the wrongful death action with the carrier, supposedly, of the trucking company.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. That dismissed both the claim and the counterclaim.
Correct, Your Honor.
Then you go after Liberty.
The fact pattern is that the original complaint on wrongful death filed in 1989. Right, is settled in 92, May of 92. But the declaratory judgment action, which brings us here, was filed a week before that settlement.
Okay, now who filed that?
We filed the declaratory judgment
so
action.
You brought the action against your own carrier at that point.
Right.
And that was preceding, as I remember, by 10 days, not a week, but anyway, a little bit before the settlement.
Yes, sir. All
right. At the settlement, then you settle the claim and the counterclaim.
Yes, Your Honor.
That leaves the declaratory judgment action pending, because it's a separate action altogether that was not consolidated.
Correct.
Your claim in that is?
That
you want a declaration?
That had a duty to defend on the counterclaim, and because they did not defend, the amount of the settlement was reduced by $120,000 because, in the settlement, we did in fact concede a degree of contributory negligence to Ann Shidell to reach the settlement figure. The settlement figure was approximately $800,000. We ended up settling for around $600,000, plus or minus some of it reduced because she couldn't have time to answer.
But isn't your cause of action against Liberty for refusing to defend?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So does it flow therefrom, the reduction of the settlement figure, does that become a definitive amount of damage in the declaratory judgment action?
I believe it does under Sanderson and its progeny, because as a practical matter, that's the amount of damage that the estate incurred as a result of their failure to defend on the claim of contributory damage.
Where do you arrive at the $800,000 figure?
The policy limits, I believe, were made yesterday.
Okay.
The $800,000 figure was the amount that was demanded.
That you'd have been willing to settle for.
We've been willing to settle
so
for.
So you settled for $800,000 plus less $120,000 to get it to settlement. Okay, so the figure is really just based on your settlement. It wasn't anything else.
Yeah,
okay.
That was the beginning figure. The $120,000 arises out of the settlement.
Just one more question. The declaratory judgment action sought relief because they did not defend. Are you looking for attorney's fees for the defense of the underlying suit?
Those were pledged in the declaratory judgment action. We are looking for attorney's fees and the damages set forth in the complaint.
So you really here are today wanting $120,000 plus under Brandenburg, whatever the attorney's fees, reasonable attorney's fees were for negotiating the settlement of the underlying cause.
And defending the underlying counterclaim.
That's correct. And what, how is it that you can say that but for the failure to defend, I guess you're saying that Ant, there would have been no finding of contributory negligence by Ant. Even with the defense, isn't that, I mean, why would you agree to that if you didn't think that there was some potential there for a finding by a jury that Ant's driving contributed to the accident?
If I understand your question, Your Honor, I think in presenting a plaintiff's case of wrongful death in an accident of this kind, you must acknowledge there is a risk the jury can find contributory negligence.
But I thought you were saying that the reason why now you're claiming against Liberty is that this, their failure to defend is directly and approximately resulted in your settling the case for less money because of Ann's negligence. But Ann's negligence would have been there one way or another, right? Defend or not?
At least the issue of her negligence would have been there one way or another. What I'm saying, though, is that Liberty Mutual is stopped from now asserting or challenging that settlement very clearly. Under Sanderson, they forfeited that right to challenge it, so that when we allocated that amount of money for contributory negligence, we had the right to do that. And I understand what you're saying is that would have been there no matter what, in theory. But what I'm saying is, in negotiating a settlement, you have the right, once the duty to defend has been denied, you have the right to determine on your own what a proper amount to be attributed to contributory negligence should be.
If they had come in and defended, and you'd gone to trial, and there was that amount of contributory negligence, then do you assert that you would have had the right to recover that Liberty?
And if, once again, Your Honor, I'm sorry, if you accept that initial fiction, yes, I agree with you. If you accept the initial fiction.
Agree with me what?
We would have had the right to recover that amount of contributory negligence from Ann Scheidel through her carrier Liberty, because subsequent to this litigation being filed, this court reversed Dairyland and Alexander and said the spousal exclusion in a UIM policy is invalid.
Okay, so that's how you get to the
100.
In the first claim, the second assignment that addresses the UIM coverage under Alexander that evolved to give us the right to make that claim. Unfortunately, the statute of limitations, I want to point out chronologically, ironically in this case, once we acquired through Alexander the right to file the UIM claim against the surviving spouse, the statute of limitations had 3 years ago run. And we bore the prejudice from that. In other words, when we had the right to file, we didn't.
A lot of people are in that situation.
You have used your time this morning. Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.